I'd encourage you, if you're using a Pew Bible, to turn to page 1579 in the Pew Bible, and that'll be Luke chapter 1 in your Bible or on your phone or tablet. Luke chapter 1, I'm going to read verses 26 to 55, and again, it's on page 1579 in the Pew Bible. And let's stand together as we honor God's word and as we look together at what he has to say to us. In Luke chapter 1 and verse 26, it tells us, "Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, 'Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women.' But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end.' Then Mary said to the angel, 'How can this be, since I do not know a man?' And the angel answered and said to her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, who has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible.' Then Mary said, 'Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word.' And the angel departed from her. Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, 'Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leapt in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord.' And Mary said, 'My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has regarded the lowly estate of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever.'" Heavenly Father, thank you for this, your word. And Lord, may you strengthen our lives through it as we seek you this morning. May you open the word to each and every one of our circumstances. For you know, Lord, exactly where we are today. And you invite us to come closer to you and to know more of your grace and goodness. So, Father, touch us through your word, we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. And December 22, and our theme this morning is really joy, and that's one of those strong themes that we see in the Christmas story, regardless if we read it in Matthew or here in Luke. There is great joy. And let me say to you, when God comes into our life or when God touches us in a fresh way, there is joy as He ministers to us. For 400 years, the people of God had heard nothing. There was no voice of the prophet. Heaven seemed to be silent. And then there comes this announcement and these good news that we read of in the Gospels of the birth of Christ. And when God comes, prayer is answered, and we see God at work in so many ways. And I've chosen just a couple of thoughts this morning to encourage us in that season where all it is so easy to miss the joy because of the busyness, because of all the stuff that goes along. But the simple joy of knowing Christ and of being known by Him, the joy of recognizing that I am no longer alone in life. God has come and He lives in the human heart. To those who seek Him, those who find Him, those who know His salvation. And you know, sometimes we sing that Christmas carol, comfort and joy, comfort and joy. And there is comfort and joy in Christmas because the Lord has come and He has come to us. So here are three reasons why you and I can have joy this Christmas time. We might or might not have presents under the tree. We might or might not have a bank balance. We might or might not have all kinds of friends and family and all of those trimmings. But we can and will have the joy of Jesus in life as we turn to Him. We see that when God comes, there is joy because God has a plan for every life. There is an old Irish proverb that says, if you don't know where you're going, any road will get you there. And that's some good Irish wisdom, I think, isn't it? Because we live so purposelessly so often. But one of the joys of Christmas is that we human beings can discover the purpose of God for our lives day by day through a personal relationship with Jesus, who is Savior and Lord. His plan here is revealed to Mary in verses 31 through 33. And all of a sudden, she knows the plan. It's exceptional and it's exciting. And it's very different, perhaps, than what she had thought. But that's one of the reasons why I love the Lord. You never know the things that He has planned for you and for me. But we do know that He has a purpose, and that is His plan for you and for me. If you look in the Old Testament, you'll see that this happens in the lives of those that we would call heroes of the faith. To Abraham, God begins to reveal His will and His plan and His purpose, that He would choose him to be the friend of God. And that Abraham would believe what God said and trust Him, even to have a child in his old age. That's impossible. You know, with God, nothing will be impossible, says verse 37. We'll come back to that in a moment or two. Not everyone is required to do the same thing. But as you look at those Old Testament heroes, you'll see Moses. He had to be away from everybody in a lonely spot before God revealed to him, I have a real purpose for you. Go and see my people freed from slavery and from Egypt. We see Elisha is a farmer until Elijah comes and throws his cloak over him and takes him into the service of God. And Elisha performs or sees God perform twice as many miracles as the prophet Elijah did. Oh, my friends, God has a plan for every life. And you know what that ought to do for you and I this Christmas time? It ought to make us step back from the presents and the stuff, which is all good. I enjoy it much as anybody else. But just to step back and to say, Abba, Lord, you have a purpose. What is your purpose for me today? What is your purpose for me through this Christmas time? How may I reflect the love of God and the power of God into the lives of others? You see, the Lord asks us for availability. It's not so much that those heroes had great abilities. They were just available, given over to God, surrendered to Him. And God tells us not to fear His plan. Before I came to Christ, I remember having a conversation with a man who was witnessing to me. And I remember saying to him, I'm not having any of that. And he said, well, why not? And I said, well, I don't know what God would want me to do. He might send me somewhere I don't want to go. And my friend laughed at me. And he said, do you think that if Jesus went to the cross and took the nails in your place and in mine, that he would have a bad plan and purpose for you? Do you think that after expressing the love of God to us on that cross, that Jesus' purpose for your life would be wrong? That it wouldn't be fulfilling? Oh, my friends, we need not fear his plan. In Ephesians 2 and verse 10, he tells us that we have been appointed and that we just need to serve him. You check it out, look it up. It's a wonderful verse. You do not need to be afraid of what God will do as you give yourself into his hands. And God tells us that there is grace, that there is favor and fulfillment. That is exactly the message that the angel gave to Mary. You're favored. Wonderfully favored. And then, secondly, in this text, we see that we have joy because God answers our questions. You ever notice that in the Christmas story? I mean, it's nice to read it and just read it, but stop and look at it and think about it and pray about it and watch what God will give you from his word. Think about the joy that comes in knowing that if we have Christ in our hearts, he gives us answers to our questions. It is a supernatural work of God that we begin to see in our lives. Mary's question when this was announced to her was, well, how can this be? There's that question. And you know, this can apply to us as well. When we think about what God is saying here, oh, friends, it is lovely just to stop and to look and to see. Wow. He answers our questions. What is the question in your heart this morning? Just as God answered Mary's questions through this announcement, he answers our questions too. I remember in a crusade one night, a man saying, I would come to Jesus, but I have these questions. I remember saying to him, if you come to Christ, he'll answer your questions. He always has, and indeed he will. You know, it was interesting to watch as somewhat fleetingly and somewhat unbelievingly, he asked the Lord to save him. And when Christ entered his heart, it was an open secret because all the questions that he had disappeared. Salvation, the favor of God, you can't buy it, or do we deserve it? But God's answer to how can this be is the Holy Spirit will come upon you. Oh, that is my prayer for all of us for this Christmas season. You know, sometimes humanly, it's easy to get down and depressed at Christmas. Sometimes we're concerned about family. Sometimes we're concerned about health. Sometimes we're concerned about loneliness and what will the future bring. And sometimes our concerns just overwhelm us, don't they? But when we think about God's answer to Mary, as the Holy Spirit comes, she begins to experience the reality of God. And she begins to know that she is in His hand. And everything that He said will certainly come true. Even Elizabeth confirms that for her as the two women meet. Elizabeth says to her, "Everything that God said, that's what will happen." It's still true today. One of my greatest joys is that regardless of circumstances or whatever, everything that God has said here, He brings it. It comes to pass. Every promise that He has made, He fulfills. And He will continue to do that until this earth is no more. We can have joy because He answers our questions about sanctification, about holiness. How in all the world can someone as sinful as me be close to a holy God? Well, you see, the answer remains the same. In the work of the Holy Spirit, He is forming a new nature within us. Nature of grace, and God is at work in every life that is surrendered to Him. This is why I get excited. I'm not going to ask Pastor Shea if he'd come and jump this morning, because I know he won't do it. So I guess I'll just have to do it myself. But while I'm doing it, you turn in your Bible to Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13, and I'll give you my little jump as we look at that verse together. It begins by saying, "For it is God who is at work in you." Yes! Praise God! He is at work. How in all the world could we make an impact in such a dark world this Christmas of 2019? How could it be that things could turn around? How could it be that righteousness and truth and justice could once again be the concern of people? How could it be that those who are trapped in darkness and those who have no hope and no help this Christmas time could find something that would fire them up on the inside so dramatically? It is because it is God that is at work in His people. The devil always comes along and says, "Oh, you can't do anything about that. Oh, just be quiet. You can't say, don't say anything. No, don't do anything." Listen. If you are surrendered to Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, it is God who is at work in you. And He is at work to will and to do His good pleasure, His will. How fantastic is that? Oh, I don't know if Roberta put my Ferrari under the tree this year or not. I've been hoping for it for 47 years, and it hasn't come yet, but there is something far better than that red Ferrari. There is the knowledge that it is God who is at work in my life. It'd be so hopeless without Him. But He's at work in your life, and as you surrender your days to Him, He will use them, and He will use you wonderfully. We can have joy today because God answers our questions about service. As we seek to serve Him, oh, what should I do? I mean, how could I serve God? Ah, but You see, as he is at work in us, it's the Holy Spirit again. And as we are surrendered to him, oh, what a magnificent difference it makes. When we seek to serve God in our own strength, that's what we get. That's why the hymn says the arm of flesh will fail you. You dare not trust your own. It's because we need the work of the Holy Spirit. And as we surrender to him, that's exactly what Mary did. Be it unto me as you have said. Wow. She completely surrenders to the Lord. I am the Lord's servant, she said. She didn't say, Lord, when I understand it all, then I'll do it. She didn't say, Lord, when you provide the resources for it all, then I'll do it. She didn't say any of those kind of things. She just said, here I am. Should not you and I do the same thing this very day? And say, Lord, here I am. Not my will, but yours be done. Thirdly, we can have great joy this Christmas time because God brings fullness of joy into life. This is not an incident that happened long ago and far away and has nothing to do with the difficulties and intricacies of life today. You find here that there is tremendous joy. There is singing, there's rejoicing at the birth of the Lord Jesus. And when he comes, oh, Elizabeth and Mary and Zacharias all sing under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Oh, but Pastor, you don't know how my heart hurts this Christmas time. There's an empty chair, and there's a broken heart. And there are children, I wish they would walk with Jesus. And there are grandchildren, I long to hold them and say, Jesus is Lord. You know, when God comes and we're surrendered to him, we cannot help but give him praise anyway. My family, as you know, faced some challenges and still does. A dear friend said to me in the midst of all that, John, I learned a long time ago when things go wrong, the best thing that you can do is say, Lord, I accept this from your hand and I give you praise anyway. You are Lord, you are God, you are Savior, you are King. That's what we find in the Christmas story, isn't it? When God comes, there's deep joy expressed in praise. We as the Billy Graham team sat in the chapel at the Cove at Asheville one day in a service just for the team. And there was this quiet moment. And the very familiar voice of Bev Shea as he sang, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. There wasn't a dry eye in that chapel that day. Because you see, despite all the ministry all around the world, we all need the fullness of the Spirit of God day by day. We all need to know his nearness, his cleansing, his love and grace. When God comes, relationships are healed. Mary and Joseph, there must have been some kind of interesting conversation between the two of them. I'm pregnant. What? Who was it that healed that relationship? Spirit of God. Who is it that can heal the relationships in your family and in mine? The Spirit of God. When God comes, the joy of His presence overtakes the emptiness of this world. And when God comes, all things are possible. Oh, I could do another jump, but I might injure myself, so I won't do that. Listen, what are the impossibilities that you face this Christmas time? Is it a phone call that you need to make? Is it a visit to reach out and touch someone? Is it a deep need that needs to come to the altar and just seek the face of God? Whatever it may be, whatever your impossibilities may be, Jesus came, and His coming reminds us that with God, all things are possible. There's no doubt about it, my friends. When God comes, things turn around. And the good news is that you can come to Him this morning with whatever may be on your heart, and know that He will never say to you, "Don't bring that to me." For indeed He says, "Come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." So shall we come? Heavenly Father, we know that Christmas is to be a joy-filled season. But we know that without the fullness of Your Holy Spirit, without that sense of surrender to Your will, we'll be struggling with all kinds of issues and things. So, Lord, as we enter into this Christmas week, we want to come to Your throne by prayer. You know our hearts today. You know our needs today. And as we come to You, Lord, we ask that You would fill us afresh and anew with Your Holy Spirit, that the joy of the Lord may truly be our strength in this season and on through the coming days. Thank You for grace, for hope, for joy, for peace, all of which are found in Jesus Christ alone. Lord, continue to bring these thoughts to our mind through these days and strengthen us through them. For with You, nothing is impossible. We bring our impossibilities to You then, and trust You in the name of Jesus to do what only You can do. For Jesus' sake we ask. Amen.